you're here. Fellowship, greet us, knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It's Monday, January 11th, 2016. Reading from one of my favorite chapters and favorite books in the Bible, Colossians chapter 3. And though the verse that we'll be talking a little about is verse 23, 17 is kind of similar, and I love both of these, and I love what they convey. And so may we take to heart God's word this morning, reading verse 17, followed by verse 23. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And then verse 23 of Colossians chapter 3, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for men. And then I'll read verse 24, since you know you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. All right, dear friends. Well, I have two special guests, two very close friends in the studio with me, Jim and Nancy Miller. Our relationship goes back about, I was thinking about that, 15 or so years. It was a trip to Israel. I remember, actually, I think we met as I was a greeter at Twin City Bible Church. You were coming up the steps, and we just started talking. And I think about a week or two later, here you were in Israel with us. Yeah. So glad to have you here in the studio again. I know, Nancy, many of our listeners have heard your voice. You've read some scripture over the air and have been a part of Mark and Friends a few different times. And Jim, you've served on the Great News Radio board. Mm-hmm. And recently, we unveiled these new gifts of yours. We fanned into flame of these, the Great News Radio Theater Troupe, enlisted Jim to be a part of the Wise Men team.
Yep, I'm a newfound talent.
Newfound talent. Yeah, Great News Radio's got talent. You know, maybe it's a new theme show we'll produce someday, but Jim was a part of our debut for the Great News Radio Theater Troupe at Marketplace Mall this past December, and it was just a lot of fun. In fact, this week, I think I'm meeting up with Kate to begin planning for some future uses of the performing arts. I think there's been a request or two from a ministry in Danville. Could we come once a month and do some skits or drama for some of the homeless people? And with our upcoming 20th birthday celebration, Huey's working on a script to give some of the radio history, and I think put something funny together on the 7th of April when Dr. Erwin Lutzer comes down. So we'll have more to say about that, but I think rehearsals for the theater troupe are going to continue on Monday nights. For sure by next Monday night, Kate, I know, is going to be working on some skits and some drama. So thanks for being available and sharing with our radio listeners. And I asked you to come into the studio and be a part of today's broadcast because I received an email from you the other day that basically said, Jim and I just got home from Rowlett, Texas, a 13-hour drive today after helping with tornado recovery through Crisis Response International. Had a fruitful and fulfilling time, great team, partnered with an amazing church, and got to help survivors in a number of ways. And I know both of you have had various training in preparedness, in emergency relief, or how to help during disasters or crises. And so I thought, in light of sharing that Colossians passage, which is near and dear to your heart, Nancy, the 3:23, you also had a poem. So share why that poem fits so well into this preparedness, this desire to provide relief for help, and then what our listeners can kind of glean through your experience and why it's important to be prepared and use your gifts, this expertise, this talent to help others. So kind of a lot of different things, but maybe start with that poem because I think that'll lay the groundwork for your real passion and desire to help others.
Okay, well, first learned about this poem at a place called Green Lake, Wisconsin, where there's a Christian conference center. And this poem, these poems are posted along a path through the woods. And they were written by a nurse who was martyred during World War II as she was with a medical mission group in the Philippines. And eventually the Japanese overtook the island and they were martyred. But before that happened, she wrote some incredible poetry. And one was called Let Me Serve Faithfully. And it goes like this. Let me serve faithfully, content with work to do. Whatever life may bring, in serving others well, thus do I serve my King. May I not weary grow when tasks seem burdensome, nor turn aside distraught before life's work is done. As others served prove true, let me be faithful too. When we go and work at these disaster relief situations, we go not thinking, well, I want to do this or that. We go as part of a team, and whatever the team leader says, would you please go and do such and such? Well, that's what we do, without preconceived ideas. So this past week, we went to Rowlett, Texas, where they had a tornado on December 26th. And it must have severely damaged or destroyed about 1,100 or 1,200 houses. Mm. You know, some were totally gone. Others, they had skylights where they never intended to, as roofs were taken off and whatnot. So we went with a team from Crisis Response International, and we've had training this past year with them to know how to respond to disasters. The first day we were there at Rowlett serving, Jim got to help. Well, we partnered also with a church, a local church there that was right on the edge of the disaster. He was mopping floors and cleaning toilets and doing pots and pans in the kitchen, whereas I got to go out and help a family salvage what they could that was left of their household belongings. The next day that all changed, but, you know, you just go and without preconceived ideas and serve where you're asked to serve. And that's why Let Me Serve Faithfully in that poem really hit the nail on the head.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jim, Nancy just mentioned about this Crisis Response International. Why did you get involved in the training? What did you see about it that was attractive? Or was the Lord leading, like, this is an important facet when there's a disaster, you need to be trained? Why did you take the training initially?
Well, it could be a bit of a long story, but 2 or 3 years ago, we went to a survival training camp. Mm-hmm. I don't know what got us interested in that, but we thought it sounded like fun. So we went and we spent several days learning basic survival skills. And in the process, we met this woman. Her name was Diane. And last February, Diane and Nancy were talking with each other, and she mentioned that she was going to go to this training in Evansville, Indiana, for this organization called Crisis Response International. Well, we had never heard of this organization before, but it sounded like fun, so we decided to go. So last February, we spent one of the coldest weeks of our lives.
Yes.
Darn near froze to death. About a foot of snow fell the first night we were there, and we were sleeping in unheated cabins, and as I said, really, really cold. But we learned a variety of skills. We learned basic first aid. We learned search and rescue. We learned security. Quite a number of various
chaplaincy type of
skills. You know, how do you minister to people that have just had their life completely disrupted? So we learned a variety of useful skills. We learned how to follow orders, basically, mm-hmm. because it's really important that if you show up to help at a disaster site, that you're under certain levels of authority.
Yeah, like a chain of command.
There's a chain of command, exactly. And that's really important, because otherwise, if you don't follow a chain of command, there's just utter confusion.
Right, right. Or there's the redundancy. People are doing something, and they were waiting for this to come, and somebody short-circuited the sequence of things. Or,
exactly.
Yeah, like you said, there's mayhem.
Exactly. Yeah. So we learned a variety of skills, and then having learned those skills, and that was not the only training we had with them. We've had subsequent several other trainings as well. And after having that training, it's like, we didn't want to just take the training and then not actually go out and put it to use.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So when we first heard about the tornado in Rowlett, Texas, my first thought, as probably most people, is, oh, what a shame, you know.
Yeah.
But then life sort of happens and you get on with life and you forget about the situation in Rowlett. But then we saw on our emails that we're on the Crisis Response International's email list. We saw that they were asking for people to deploy to Texas. And I thought, well, that's a long ways away, you know. Why would I want to go all the way to Texas? But then finally we decided, yeah, let's just do it. Let's just go.
Well, and part of that, when you're attentive to God's leading and prodding, and you have a sensitivity to, Lord, we've been trained, how can we help and serve others? And I know both of your backgrounds, you've helped out with Johnny and Friends mission trips and other mission trips, I think, to Haiti or other parts of the world where you've served. And you've worked many times with internationals and outreach. So you've had a heart for putting hands and feet into the Lord's work. I mean, doing what you could. And so you get this email and you start looking at your schedule and the reality. Can we do this? Should we do this? Did you just both come together and say, hey, I think we could take this time off and put to use some of the things that we've learned?
Well, yeah. I mean, I can take time off. I have, fortunately, where I work, I have some liberality as to when I can take time off, and I had some saved up, so I could certainly do that. But still, the idea of going all the way to Dallas, Texas, mm-hmm. was pretty daunting. But I think finally we just decided, you know, there's a need, we've been trained, why don't we just do it?
Crisis Response International, is it a Christian-based group, or is it just kind of like a service operation, like the Red Cross or something? Like, can you share your faith, or is it more of just, we need helping hands?
No, it's very, very much a Christian organization. Okay. In fact, their vision is to reach the harvest in the midst of crisis. Mm-hmm. So they really do have a heart for sharing the gospel mm-hmm. and seeing people become saved. And they feel that people are most receptive when they are, you know, they're in a crisis situation. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of their vision, is to take advantage of these crisis situations as a means of spreading the gospel.
Now, I know, Nancy, you had a unique conversation with a woman because she was talking about, well, what's going to happen next week or a week from mm-hmm. now? And I asked you, was it a good experience? And you said you worked with this wonderful church. Mm-hmm. What made it special or unique, working with a church or having this base of operation and then having these conversations with these people?
Well, I'm not sure exactly how Crisis Response International got hooked up with this particular church, but the church was right on the edge of the major disaster area. They had some damage themselves, but not enough to slow down whatever they wanted to do. And since they were right on the edge, they were so available to reach out to the neighborhood that was right there. They just happened. Of course, we know that it's not odd, it's God. But they had a school building.
Hey, wait, I'm going to pause you. Not odd, it was God. I like to say, like, divine appointments or divine circumstances. Mm-hmm. Not odd, but God. Oh, I like that. Right. I'm going to have to store that one down.
Okay. Well, so they were right there. A year ago, they had a fully functioning school. And their high school building was up and running, but for various reasons, the school was closed, mm-hmm. and it has been for the past year. So they had this high school building available. Somebody at the church thought, why not open this up for a fully functioning disaster relief center? And the church came together in an incredible way. You just knew it had to be the Spirit of God, mm-hmm. because they had a gymnasium that they could put cots in there, and those who were left without homes could come and sleep. They had a cafeteria associated mm-hmm. with the school. They opened up the cafeteria. They are serving 3 hot meals a day for all volunteers that are interested, for those who are sleeping in the gym, free. You can come and mm-hmm. eat. They have provided a nurse who's available. They've got clothing very well organized on the second floor. You can come and find men's clothing, women's clothing, children's clothing. They have brooms and mops. And for those that are trying to pack up what's salvageable from their houses, you can come to the church and pick up boxes. I mean, the community has really donated a lot, making it available to this church to hand out to people. I mean, also, there's a huge pantry that people have donated food, and others can come in and take what they need. It's just phenomenal. But this church has decided they intend to be there for the long haul. Mm-hmm. There's some people that can only open up for a couple weeks or whatever, and then the major enthusiasm for recovery has died down, and people go off to do their normal thing. But this church wants to be there. And I went out with a little team of 3 other people from the church in the community to, we were taking some shopping bags full of toilet paper, paper towels, or cleaning equipment, or just snacks. And we had a nice thermos of hot chocolate, because it was in the 40s, and a lot of people didn't have power anymore. Mm-hmm. Some didn't have water. And so we would go out to to see if there were people that we could just give them something to eat or give them some supplies. You know, garbage bags are very helpful. And just let them know that there's a church really close, that if they need help, they can come and get help. And we're in for the long term. And as I saw one couple, they were just about near tears thinking, we're not going to be forgotten.
Yeah.
And they weren't associated with the church as far as I could tell. They said, we're gonna see you, you know, yeah, at the church. So that was encouraging.
Well, I think what's special about this Crisis Response International, too, is things that we just either take for granted or don't even think about. Like these people, they lose their house, they lose many of their possessions, but they still have mm-hmm. to go to work the next day
exactly.
or the next week, or they have to kind of continue on with life.
Right.
And yet, who's going to fill in, or if they were going to stay in their friend's house? Well, their friend's house, also in the tornado,
exactly.
was torn down.
Exactly. Their neighbors are gone.
Or
I mean,
all their possessions.
Yes.
And like you said, with the training or the Crisis Response International, they already knew ahead of time, we need boxes for people mm-hmm. to have to pack up some of their
right.
belongings or makeshift storage or something. So what do they do with the possessions? Because if it rains the next day or the
exactly.
next week.
Oh, yes. Well, and there was the first house that I helped with. There had been a man who called the church, not a churchgoer, but he called the church to see, was there anybody who could help pack up their kitchen?
Hmm.
Well, you know, half of their roof was gone. We were expecting rain within about 2 or 3 days, so they wanted to salvage whatever they could that was left of their home. And this man and his wife, with two of their adult children that had been able to come back and help out, but they needed help to retrieve as much as possible before another rain. It was also fun to see, you know, where the ceiling and the wall meet up at the top, you could see the sky through the crack where the roof had been lifted and set down. You know, you're walking across glass and debris in the living room, a soaked carpet. It's just amazing to go into some of these houses. But this was a family that so appreciated us. And we didn't go in with the preconceived idea of sharing the gospel with them, but we were the hands and feet, and by helping them where they were at. I mean, it's really important to pray, for us to pray, Holy Spirit, come.
Yeah. And be that fragrance
and
of Christ.
And then meet their basic needs.
Right.
You know, there was another small group of people that were walking down the street who were willing to pray with people, but some people aren't there yet.
Right.
We were racing against time. If this had been a Christian family, maybe they would have realized the value of let's pray and God will make up the time. But they weren't there. But by our helping them where they were at, I think their hearts were really open.
Mm-hmm.
And it just really meant a lot. Another family we helped, things were just sucked out of their house, and there wasn't that much to salvage. I mean, they even had two of their dogs had been sucked out of the house and found some distance away. One had died, and one died within the day. I mean, you just saw a lot of heartbreaking things, but boy, we saw the Spirit working in mighty ways as well,
mm-hmm.
and it was Christians that were there helping.
Yeah.
And spoke volumes.
Hey, Jim, in our closing couple minutes, why would it be important for maybe some of our listeners to consider or, you know, think through, maybe I need some of this training or to be a part of the Crisis Response International or just in my own community? You know, there's crisis right here in the greater Champaign, Urbana area or East Central Illinois, West Central Indiana. There's been some flooding. Why is it important to have some of this training and to be available to help?
Well, I think, first of all, none of us knows what could happen even tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, was it 2 or 3 years ago that Gifford was practically wiped off the map? Washington, Illinois, at the same time, was pretty much wiped out. So disasters can happen at any time and at any place. So that's one thing. Another thing is, when a disaster hits, it's not the time to start getting prepared. You really should be prepared and thinking at least a little bit in advance. So, as I mentioned earlier, having the training and being affiliated with an organization that is recognized is very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you hear about a disaster and then just show up, well, you might be useful, but you also might be kind of in the way
mm-hmm.
and contributing to some of the confusion. Whereas if you have training and are affiliated with a recognized organization, that organization comes in with credibility, and that organization can fit into the command structure, sure. and basically you smoothly fit in. And you're much, much more effective if you have training and have an affiliation with some disaster relief organization.
Now, does Crisis Response International have a website? And I know you're not, per se, a spokesperson for them,
right.
but you've
right.
seen them effectively used of God, and it is a Christian organization
yes.
with a two-pronged maybe approach. You know, certainly communicate the good news message of Jesus, but meet the immediate need
yes.
and help and serve as best you can.
Yeah, they do a website, and it's www.cryout.com. So cryout, cryout.com. And they provide training throughout the year, various types of trainings. They also have people deployed currently. They have people deployed, down in Rowlett, Texas, there are still people there. But they also have people right now in Iraq and Kurdistan and Ukraine. And they have a training center in Cyprus.
But aren't they there at Greece?
Possibly. There might be people in Greece as well. So they are...
Domestic and international.
Domestic sure. and international.
And you went to Nepal with them.
I've been to Nepal with them
In
October, yes. So they're a very active organization.
Cryout.com. Cryout.com.
Mm-hmm.
CRIOUT.com. Learn more. And as it says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Remember, dear friends, whoever you serve today, you can serve in the power and strength of the Lord Jesus Christ and serve them as the Lord would serve them and be blessed as a result of that. Well, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Jim and Nancy Miller with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.
Your love compels me, Lord, to see as you would see, to serve as you would serve, to